This interview is for information only and should not be considered as investment advice or a recommendation to buy shares in the company featured. Welcome to this Stockbox interview. Phil Thomas, the CEO of AIS Resources, joins me today on Stockbox. Now, last time we spoke, Phil, I think was back in April, and it looks like you've been very busy across the whole portfolio. So I wonder if in this interview today we can get a snapshot of each project in the portfolio and just reassess where we are.
Most certainly, Mark.
Great. Okay, so let's start with Australia. And the company has three projects in the portfolio, all which are currently active. So if we start with the Yalgolgrin project, and in particular, the Neighbours Farm prospect, where the company recently completed a diamond drill program and intersected 87 metres at 1.5 grams per tonne gold. So how pleased are you with this result? What are the next stages at the Neighbours Farm prospect? And indeed, what's the bigger picture look like and the roadmap for this year?
We've been working very, very hard at Yalgolgrin. We're up to drill hole number 8. And as you may or may not be aware, there's been significant rain up in that area. So, in fact, we couldn't move the drill rig from hole 8 over to Asia Wyalong, but that's probably going to happen this weekend. So the Asia Wyalong mine is about 75 metres deep, and we're going to drill right underneath that mine through the metasediments, which is different to the granites, which are infused with sulphides up at Payne's Road, which is Yalgolgrin. So hole two was successful in the sense that we were able to determine the plunge of the direction of the gold. And so hole three came up and we got some sulfides, which was under the Adelaide mine. And then hole four, five, six were drilled at the back of the Adelaide mine. So we sort of created a triangle of drilling. And hole seven had about a 40 metre interval of sulfides, which we're going through looking using our eyes. But the core from hole three has just been split. Hole four is ready to be split. Five, six, and seven are being transferred to the core shed, and hole eight will be transferred next week. So we're still in kind of sampling mode at the moment, but there's a lot of structural geology going on in the background. And I'm not sure whether I mentioned this last time, but there's a big structural body at the side of the Lachlan origin that goes 600 kilometres, and interestingly, it went through the E79 body as well and continues south. And we're on the top end of that, whereas E79, we're on the bottom end. So it's quite interesting that geological feature is very deep, probably lower crust, where all the solutions have been coming through and carrying the gold with them. moving on to Fosterval and Tooling, the company recently completed a reverse circulation drilling campaign, which was very positive. We got hits of gold in the parts per billion, but we know that we're moving towards the right structure. And if you have a look at the what we call the worms, the little blue lines, we're looking for the interception. And there's a target area just on either side of the road. So we might put the drill rig next over the road and continue to go across until we hit the stream. And there's a culturally sensitive area on the other side of the stream that we obviously can't go into, so we'll stop there. So there's a little patch there now that looks really exciting. We think that we've sorted out the Ordovician and the Permian, and you may recall the Permian has the gold in it from about 50 kilometres away that's been dragged across in the ice age, in the glaciers, and the Ordovician sits underneath it, and that's where the turbidites have been infused with gold, which we found, which had been found over at Fosterville. So the same sorts of rocks and the same sort of structure moves across, fortunately, through the EO we have, and now we just have to test it there. We'll probably do some soils in the next couple of weeks if there's not much rain and the lambing season's finished, and then we'll come back and bring the drill back and do some more RC drilling to prove up that thesis of the intersection of the faults and the tears and spurs that we can see from the ground geophysics.
Okay, okay. And with the name being Fosterville, does it bear any similarities to the Fosterville style mine?
Oh, it's identical. You can look at our rocks in the cuttings and have a look at their rocks in their Eagle mine. They're identical. And the structure is identical. The folds are identical. The grain size, which is the most important thing, is identical. So, you know, we're in the same large body. But as I said, that body can run for at various depths in the crust for 150 kilometres. So we're extremely close in geological terms. In fact, we're probably the next corridor down. And the gold hits that we got on the middle line are just proving up that T intersection, and obviously the paleo channels that sit in the Ordovician rocks have got gold in them as well, because to the south they put the Tulene mine in place, and that extracted quite a bit of gold, but it's now covered with rubbish as the rubbish dump, and the town is right next door. Okay. So we can't go there.
Okay. Well, a great place to be anyway, for sure. So let's look at the final project in Australia. That's the Kingston Gold Project in Victoria. Is it fair to say then that this is an earlier stage project, but it is drill ready, and there's a fair amount of historical data that can help you?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the area that's been most heavily explored is around the area that we don't have, which they turned into a prospect license, and then they've started mining on it, and I don't know what the results of their mining is or how far they've got, but they got all the approvals to start mining a couple of months back, and that's fantastic for us because we can use the same pro forma and get stuck into a mine ourselves. There's about 15 or 20 shafts around our exploration license in that Kingston Park area, and so what we'll probably do is run what they call an induced polarity or an IP survey to pick up all the sulfides that sit in the quartz, and some soil sampling. Our new young geo will get out there and cut his teeth on that. And then once we've got a good picture, we'll pick some drill targets, which will predominantly be under some of these existing mines that light up from the geophysics, and off we go.
Okay.
This happens pretty quickly. So don't be surprised if we come out with some results in the next couple of months.
Okay. So lots going on in Australia. And aside from the rain affecting the drilling, you've not been affected by the plague of mice that's currently going around Western Australia, have you?
No. I think most of them would be wearing fur coats and woolen coats down where we are. We had a -2 the other morning at Fosterville, and it's been around 0 to 3 degrees every morning, and warming up to 15 or 16 during the day. But generally speaking, no, we won't have any mice around.
Okay, that's good to hear. So let's move on now to South America and to the Incahuasi Lithium Sala project. Can you update us on the corporate activity with Spey Resources and the recent exploration?
Certainly. Incahuasi, we finished the TEM survey, and I got the results back this morning, so I'm looking at that, but from my first glance, it looks highly prospective. From the sampling, we did 26 samples on the surface, and we got good lithium grades on the surface, but what we're really trying to do is trying to figure out where the aquifers were and whether there's 1, 2, 3, or 5 aquifers, and the geochemistry said there were 2 that we identified. We got a couple of hits of 150 ppm lithium, which is more than enough on the surface, so we would expect them to be 220 to 250, maybe 300 down about 50 metres. We were then looked at the geophysics this morning, and sure enough, there are actually 3 aquifers that we can see, and we can tell an aquifer by looking at the lithium value or the resistivity value, and if it's below 0.026, which is salt water, then we know it's got potassium, lithium, magnesium in it. If we then run it through, look further down, we actually got 0.015. We got a 0.009. So clearly there's an area there. This salar is very low in potassium. So all the indicators are pointing that it's got a fairly strong lithium presence in that aquifer, and we can see the differentials in density from the TEM survey. So as first glance, it's looking good, needs a lot more analysis, which we'll do and filter out some of the details. But getting two surface samples at 150 is looking good. The progress, SGS have analysed nearly all the samples, 26, and the 480 litres of brine that we're going to be sending to Melbourne to have the university run it through the EcoSolve process, and those results will be coming out in probably about 1 to 2 months' time. So everything is on track. It's been completed in the time frame. We had a COVID closed down in the middle of it, but we got around that, and they were at the town. Tollagrandy was open for business again, and we completed the work.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much, Phil, for giving us that update across all of the projects at AAS. It certainly sounds like there's an awful lot going on. I look forward to keeping tabs on the activities. Just to finish off then, I wonder, can you give us an idea, considering the exploration being undertaken by the company and the roadmap for building value, what are your thoughts and feelings for the rest of 2021?
Well, pretty positive, because we don't have any complete failures. So In Yilgarn, we've got that big intersection and a composite intersection. We know which way the ore zone mineralization is dipping, and it's not exactly as we saw in the geophysics, but the drilling has corrected that and given us more accuracy. So in the next campaign, we'll be on target. At Fosterville, we've identified the area. We've identified where the paleo channels are, what the direction the flow was, and we've got a good structural geology target, and we've got gold. We're getting, albeit they're low values, but we're getting hits and consistent. I mean, we've got four drill holes in a row that have got gold in them, which is fantastic news. And then greater than 10 p.m. Actually, it's five we've got in a row. And then down at Kingston, we know that there's gold. We've got gold miners within 100 metres of us. We know what the alluvial channel looks like, so Kingston also has some substantial upside for us as well. And the beauty about lithium brines is that once you've got the flow rate sorted out, the brine value, as long as it's more than 100 ppm, you've got a business. So I think in Inkahussy we've already got 150 in two areas, and I'm not sure what Spey Resources have got in terms of further acquisitions, but it looks like if they make some further acquisitions, there'll be more value for AIS Resources.
Okay. Well, Phil Thomas, the CEO of AIS Resources, thank you very much for that update today.
Pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this Stockbox interview. For more information, interviews and videos, visit our website at stockboxmedia.com, or give us a follow on Twitter by searching at stockboxmedia.